Welcome back to the podcast with your lovely hosts, Palm T and Earl Grey. So for our 27th episode, we're going to be talking about emotional vulnerability. We're also going to be talking about how that differs from women and also in men, how we've kind of learned and taught ourselves how to be emotional, how to express ourselves emotionally, and kind of how that could differ when it comes to a workplace, when it comes to your family, when it comes to just friendships, and or when it comes to dating, how
culturally
just how you express yourselves in those different aspects. I guess we can start off by saying, like, how did you express yourself emotionally when you were younger as opposed to how you do
it
now?
I express myself now. Mm-hmm. So when I was younger, I think it varied, but I'm definitely the one here who's the emotional one. I probably would be at first really kind of upset, and I would sense myself not knowing what to say. So not using my words, kind of getting really flushed, getting like maybe starting to tear up, and then kind of isolating myself and then kind of hashing it all out afterwards. But I think at first it was more of just like feeling flustered and kind of keeping to myself or letting it out via crying or just not automatically getting all those sad feelings as opposed to looking at it from what can be done here or how should I reflect on this? That's how I feel like I expressed myself when I was younger. Mm-hmm. What about you?
Yeah, I feel like when I was younger, I was like a little bit of a crier. Like I would say between the ages of maybe 7 and 9, I would kind of like throw tantrums. And I think it's more because
you remember all of that?
Yeah.
I can't even remember certain things from like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, that's a problem.
No, usually my memory is good, but I don't think from like when you said, from 7 to 9, yeah. I don't know if I can remember specific like behavior from that age.
I think I remember specific behavior because I remember certain experiences that trigger why I behave that way.
Okay.
So I think when I was younger, I was very concerned about like being like liked and being friends with everyone and being accepted. So if I felt left out, or if I felt like, my mother wants my sister to go everywhere with her, but not me. Or if one of our cousins came from, you know, out of town or out of the country and they were closer age to my sister, they wanted to spend more time with her than me. I felt like I was being left out. So I felt like at a younger age, I would either cry or kind of just be by myself. And I feel like as I've gotten older, I've seen that for me, that doesn't produce any like results. It's just like, okay, you're crying, but it's not really changing the situation. Mm-hmm. And people are now kind of looking at you like as a crybaby. Mm-hmm. Even though in today's, as an adult, there's nothing wrong with crying and kind of letting that emotion off because it's good to release and cry.
Sometimes it helps.
But I think when I was younger, I would either like throw tantrums. But I think in high school, I would just be like the funny person. So if like someone made fun of me or said something crazy, I would kind of turn how I felt internally into like, well, if you don't like the way I look, or if you don't like the way I sound, I'm gonna just make you laugh. So as a defense mechanism. Mm-hmm.
And kind of take the attention off of the negative.
Exactly. So I think
that's a good approach.
Yeah. So I think I kind of carried how my character is more important in certain ways. And I think that's why, for me, if I'm dealing with anyone, personality counts. Like, it's very important to me. So, yeah, I think when I was younger, I started off younger, like, throwing tantrums. And then I kind of, as a defense mechanism, just started making people laugh.
That's good. Yeah. That's a good approach, though. Like, yeah. And especially for you to kind of take that as, like, I'm going to turn this into a positive.
Yeah.
I would say, though, that I did have a similar experience of, I think, when I wasn't liked or when I wasn't part of the crowd, especially when you were much younger, like elementary or junior high school, you know, that desire to be liked or to be part of the in crowd. And then you'd be upset if you weren't accepted.
Yeah.
I feel like now what I try to do is I sense that I still have that same flustered and that same like, this sucks. What you're immediately feeling like this.
Right.
But then I think now, as opposed to when I was younger, I try to say, okay, take a deep breath. Like, how do you want to proceed from here?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's helped me because, like, I'll give you an example. with when I've been out of a job. And yes. I think at first, when probably the first time I lost my job, I'd be tearing up. But I want to say that when it happened a second time, particularly because I had already had that happen to me, mm-hmm. I think that I was able to be like, okay, you need a little bit of time to right. be upset about it. But what's next? But I think that still, yeah, I had a day or so where I was like, oh, I was caught off guard, mm-hmm. you know, the venting, the usual talking to someone like, I can't believe this happened, you know, doing all of those things that you would say, was healthy. I actually remember, I think the second time that I lost my job, I went home and I was like, you know what? Today, I'm not going to think about, I'm going to take the rest of the day to just relax and not think about it. So watch a movie that I like, order some food and not think about maybe right away until the next day or the day after to start applying for work.
Yeah.
So kind of take that day as like, okay, this really happened. This sucks, but let me try to de-stress for the next few hours at least.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think when you've been through this kind of the same situation, like job wise, it kind of helps you prepare for the next one. So mm-hmm. you're like, okay, this happened before. Mm-hmm. Yes, I'm going to have those raw emotions like, why is this happening to me? This is frustrating. Mm-hmm. It's sad. You know, my bills need to get paid. But then it's like what you said, what's the next step? Because crying for a week is not no. going to change your situation.
True.
And I think as I've gotten older, I don't like to be in a negative state of mind. Like, I don't like to be sad for longer than 48 hours because I feel like
it's not productive.
It's not productive, and it's like it's not helping you get out of the situation. So I feel like as I've gotten older, I've kind of been very, I feel like, results oriented. It's just like, okay, I've been in a similar situation, as you know, like I've also lost a job in the past several times, and the first time I was just like, what's happening? Because it was just so left field, I had no idea it was coming. And then the second time it happened, it's just like, okay, I have a little bit more money saved up, mm-hmm. or I have more experience now on mm-hmm. my resume, so I'm just going to use that and not dwell on the fact like I don't have a job. Just dwell on like you have more experience now, mm-hmm. and now you can take that like to the next position.
Yep. I would say, yeah, that definitely if some kind of event occurs, whether it's a loss of a job, mm-hmm. whether it's maybe you were in the same situation with one person and then you find yourself in the same situation again, or you have a similar argument with a friend mm-hmm. or a family member, it's like once you go through that once, although the initial time really sucks and you're like, oh, this is terrible,
yeah,
at least you know on the second time, okay, this isn't my first rodeo. Like, I can kind of yes, it's sad and I have these same emotions, but maybe it's not as horrible or as like traumatizing as it was the first time.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that kind of helps you say, all right, I've been through this. Not, you know, I hopefully you're a little bit more prepared this time, mm-hmm. And you know how to proceed.
Yeah, and I feel like one thing I left out when I was in college, I feel like if I was upset about something with a friend or a roommate situation or with a guy, I did not like to address the person or confront them right away. Mm-hmm. I would rather isolate myself, and then when I'm ready to talk about it, I would address it. Or I probably wouldn't. I don't think I addressed a lot of things at all. I would just kind of sweep it under the rug. And I feel like how I am now, I like to address things right
pretty
away.
Pretty quickly.
Like, if we have a problem, I want to address it mm-hmm. so we can, you know, get over
it. Yeah, get through it. Like, you don't want something to be lingering.
Yeah.
Or just also feel like, okay, where do I stand with this person? Or if it's with a roommate, or if yeah. it's with a coworker, and you have to see that person, that's very difficult. Or just someone that you care about, you don't want to be like, okay, so what's the status of things? You mm-hmm. want to, I know for me, I think we're similar in this way. Like, I don't want to go to sleep with like such
upset.
A heavy, like, with heavy things weighing on my mind. And I yes. know that that's part of everyday life. That's part of, you're going to go through things where you're going to be like, wow, this is a really difficult time.
Mm-hmm.
But I feel like if I can control that a little bit better and say, hey, I'm not trying to go to sleep with all of this guilt or all of this negativity or all of this unsureness on my brain,
yeah,
I'd rather address that pretty quickly.
I feel the same, and I feel like with some men it's the complete opposite when it comes to addressing things right away or just expressing when they feel away or bothered by something. Like, for example, I feel like if a guy loses a job, I think because it's ingrained in themselves that they're supposed to be the provider.
The breadwinner,
and let's say,
yeah.
like, you guys are together, I feel like you would either not know what's going on, or they, or if you ask them how's your day, they'll be like very dismissive or shut down. Mm-hmm. And like for me, that's very difficult if I'm dating someone and they're shutting down emotionally, because it's just like, as a partner, for me, I want to help get you get through like that state of mind.
To be supportive, even if, God forbid, you lost your job and you're in a difficult situation.
And I feel like some guys feel like, oh, they may feel like, oh, I don't want to put the burden on you. Or they may feel like, well, this is not your problem, so therefore I'm not speaking about it. But I don't think some men, and I'm saying some because not all are like this, I feel like some men don't realize by not saying anything, you can make things like a little bit worse, because then on a woman's mind, we don't know what's going on. We don't know why you're not saying as much today. And then we can immediately think like the worst, when actually the situation is something that's relatable. And like, personally, I've been in a situation where, I guess I was dating someone a couple years ago who lost their job, and I felt like he said certain things like, oh, you know, I'm having a little difficulty. Like, I'm not sure when money's coming in. And like, I would try to send him like motivational quotes in the morning. Like, you know, don't worry, you'll get through this. And I felt like one day I just didn't hear from him. It was like ghost town. And it's just like, okay, are you ghosting me because you're having issues with your job? Or is it like another situation? And it's like, if there's no open communication, it's just like, we don't know what's going on.
Do you think he appreciated the like motivational quotes and the support?
I have no idea. When I sent him that, I remember one morning sending him that, he'll say thank you, but I don't know, because I feel like if you appreciate something, then you would have, I feel, the respect or decency not to not say anything for a long period of time. Because, like, I understand we all have bad days. Like, there are times where I don't want to talk and I will express, you know, today's not my day, I'll hit you up tomorrow. And I feel like I don't know if certain men have that same notion as to, I don't know when I'm going to feel good. But I feel like it's okay to be like, today is not my day, or I'll hit me back up in like a week or a couple of days when I'm in a better state of mind. In my experiences, again, not all men, it's either they don't say anything or they say the bare minimum and you still don't know what's going on.
Yeah. No, I was going to say, I 100% agree. I feel like if I'm even dating you, I feel like I'd want to know those things. Not because, I don't know if maybe that particular guy had a bad experience where maybe he was struggling and he told some girl and the girl wasn't interested.
Right.
Or the girl was kind of like, oh, that sucks, and didn't, and wasn't there for him to be supportive. I think a lot of men have pride, or they just have that innate purpose of, oh, okay, I'm going to be taken care of. I'm going to be the provider. Why would this woman want to deal with me when I'm not providing? I need to focus on that only. How can I communicate with her when I'm upset about my lack of work?
Right.
And I feel like, though, and I've said this on many episodes, like, if you're in a relationship, or you're even heavily dating someone where it's like several months, and on a more established level, there should be a, hey, you know what? I'm going through some things right now and I need some time. Or there should be a, hey, I'm not having a great day, I just wanted to let you know, you know, I'm going through this right now, just so you understand. It doesn't need to be this whole full-fledged how maybe some girls go into like heavy paragraphs.
Right.
It just could be, hey, I'm not doing too well right now.
Right.
And I don't know if it could be different reasons. It could be lack of, it could be, I think, sometimes that pride where they're like, I don't want to make it seem like I'm less than, or I don't want to make it seem like I'm at the bottom right now when I should be at the top, you know, or maybe she'll react negatively and she won't be supportive towards me. But I think that I feel like more men should be open to even slightly trying to communicate if they didn't previously, because I think that just as we women maybe give someone a chance or say something that maybe ordinarily we wouldn't say or try or suggest something to a guy that maybe he'd reject, you know, about like a date or an activity. Right. We put ourselves out there. We try it, even if we're going to get that. We get girls get rejected. Like
the, we sure
girls
do.
Girls get rejected. Girls get kind of the like where guys turn the other cheek or they kind of give them the runaround or we're just an option. So it's like I don't think a guy – I feel like I think – a woman, if she's into the man or supportive to some capacity, she'd be receptive and she'd want to be helpful or she'd be like, oh, he's communicating. That's good. You know what? Take your time. Let me know if I can help you in any way.
And I also feel like, and what always stumps me, maybe our male listeners can help me out with this. If you're dating for a period of time, I think you should have a clear idea of the type of person you're dealing with. And I say that to say that you should know, okay, I've been dating this girl for 4 years. She doesn't come off as the type that would leave me if I tell her my struggles. You know what I mean? Or she's been supportive of me when I tell her about my job, or she asks me questions and about me. She seems really interested in what I'm interested in. I feel like that should give you a little bit of a benefit of the doubt to like, okay, if I do express myself, even though I don't normally do so, if I do tell her like, okay, today's not my day, or if I try to express things that are negatively impacting my life, I think you should have some awareness that she's not going to go anywhere. Mm-hmm. Maybe some guys don't feel like they have that security, or maybe they're not sure, but I think men should give certain women a benefit of the doubt. Like, if you tell me your problems, I'm not going anywhere. Or it's like, I've showed you at this point, 4 months, 5 months, a year in, that I'm like for you and I'm interested. And that's the part that stumps through it, where it's just like, what's the blockage that's preventing you from communicating when things don't go well in your life? Because then you not communicating is not helping us to progress.
To move forward.
Because there are going to be a lot of problems that in life that happens. And I feel like if you really care about someone, if you're interested, again, you don't have, like you said, you don't have to write a soliloquy. You don't have to tell me a Bible verse. But there should be some type of path where you're communicating with me in a way where it's like, okay, you didn't tell me specifics, but I hear you and I understand, and I'll give you your space until you're ready to talk. I feel like a healthy relationship should have that type of communication.
True. Yeah, no, I 100% agree. And I don't think that it should be like such a tall order.
It shouldn't.
Everyone operates very differently, and maybe what would work for one person or wouldn't work for you would work for somebody else, or a communication style. I just think that also, I think I want to put out there that like someone saying, oh, I lost my job and I'm really upset, is not like you're weak, or it's not like you're letting your complete guard down, or you're being super, masculine or whatever.
Right.
I feel like, society assigns like characteristics and certain things to like what's said. So like if you're saying like, oh, I'm really upset about the fact that I lost my job, or I'm really upset about the fact that one of my boys from years doesn't talk to me anymore.
Right.
Like that's suddenly you're labeled as like, oh, you're weak, or you're, you know, all those names are thrown out when it's like,
you're normal.
You're normal. Like there's certain things that females and males are both going to feel. Maybe a female would feel it on a more extreme level or for a longer period of time, or maybe she'd be more sad as opposed to, let me take my frustrations out.
Right.
But I don't think that a male saying like, hey, I'm actually really upset about this, or hey, I'm not doing well, like I need some time, is and you communicate that appropriately, I don't think there's anything wrong. I feel like actually I'd welcome that, as opposed to not saying anything or opposed to be like, yeah, I'm cool. It's like, well, no, you're not cool, because this is not usually how our interactions go.
Yeah. And I feel like that kind of stems from like what you were saying, society, because I feel like you know, when certain young boys grow up, they're, especially for certain cultures, you're taught not to show emotions and not to cry. I know in our last episode we had we had a conversation about like gender roles and how we kind of want to flip it now and just make it standard for men and women, and like mm-hmm. it's okay to communicate in certain ways. And I feel like, yeah, I feel like certain men are taught, you know, if you stub your toe like on the couch, like don't cry, like hold it in. Or women are more taught growing up to be like, oh, it's okay to express yourself. Mm-hmm. Like it's okay to say I'm sad or I'm angry or I'm mm-hmm. disappointed. And I feel like with men, it's
like take your frustrations different. Yeah, take your frustrations out, like play sports.
Right exactly.
Which I think is good. I think even women, that you can take your frustrations out by playing sports or mm-hmm. by exercising, but I think that it should also be stressed of
addressing the issue.
Yeah, because I think that there's two there. It seems like from this conversation there's like two parts of it now, like addressing things and expressing things. Right. Maybe a person that you're dating may not say to you directly, like, I'm super sad about this, or oh, this is making me feel terrible. Maybe they'd say, hey, I'm in an unfortunate situation right now. I need some time. And then they figure out how to, whether they're going to come back to you for conversation, whether right. they're going to go play sports, whether they're going to go, I don't know, smoke to relax themselves, whatever they do. But there's like two parts here.
Yeah. But then I feel like some men mask it. Like they'll not say anything and they'll give you one word answers. Your one word answers is expressing to me that something is not right, mm-hmm. but you're not addressing what's not mm-hmm. right. You know what I mean? So I just feel like men address things and express things like very, very differently than we are. And then also I don't like the notion when some people say like women are more emotional, because I feel like men are very emotional and
but they're not expressing it the way we do.
Right. And I also feel like by not knowing how to take someone being direct or assertive towards you, I feel like that shows a type of emotion that you're not privy to, or mm-hmm. that, because I feel like it's if your first reaction, if I'm telling you like, hey, this is something that bothered me, if your first reaction is to be defensive, I feel like you're a very emotional person. Like you're mm-hmm. emotional mm-hmm. and you're a man and you're emotional. Mm-hmm. It's just like that's, you know, that's what you are. Because yeah. it's just like you don't know how to take in what I'm saying without feeling like it's a slight argument to you.
Or exactly.
So I feel like when we say like too emotional, it's just like, well, what does that mean? Because I feel like in my experiences, I have met guys who are very emotional in a sense that they don't know how to take someone being very assertive or aggressive or telling them straight as it is. I feel like to me that's very emotional.
See, and that's not your first thought of emotional. You think of someone crying
and like,
ooh. Yeah, being like, oh, this is terrible. Yeah. But that could also be another form of emotional, of when someone tells you, and it could be something constructive. Like it could be, hey, I think we should work on this, or hey, I kind of wish that this would have happened as opposed to this, or what, or wish you operated in this way, whatever. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you're right. I think it comes down to, I think, in a woman's eyes, it's like, okay, we can work together on this, or I can make some improvements. And I feel like the man is coming from a, what's wrong with me? Or, oh, why is she telling me this?
Right.
You
know? Right.
And I think I think you really have to have, and I said this in the last episode, you really need to have emotional maturity, vulnerability. And I don't feel sometimes the level of where a woman is emotional, like her maturity. Emotional maturity is at the same level of a man's emotional maturity, because I think that's maybe not something that's been like ingrained and passed on. Whereas women, I think we're not everybody, but I've seen, especially at the, you know, our age, we love like talking about like personal growth, listening to podcast, listening to YouTube series about all of that, making people feel more comfortable and making people feel heard. And I don't feel like that space, unless you're in like the mental health space,
right?
I don't feel like, or maybe a guy's with a partner who stresses that, or a family member or a friend. I don't feel like amongst other men, that's like highlighted.
And I also feel like certain men feel like if they obtain one thing, that then they've accomplished mm-hmm. something else. Like, I've heard, like, oh, the reason why I haven't dated in a while is because I wanted to get myself financially stable. It's like, that's not the only aspect of a relationship. You also need to know how to communicate with that person when stressful things are happening. Mm-hmm. You also need to know how, at some level, to be empathetic and supportive mm-hmm. towards her. Like, great, you can...
Empathy is big.
Yeah, it's like, great, you're taking me out and you're paying for things because you feel like that's the man thing to do and it's chivalrous and that's what a gentleman does, but are you feeding me emotionally? Or are we connecting on an emotional level? So I do feel like certain, again, some men, not all, because I don't want to generalize, but I do feel like certain men feel like, okay, I got this in the bag. And then it's just like, oh, great. You know, I feel like, kind of like what you were saying, I feel like women sometimes, we think multi-dimensionally. Like, it's just like, okay, we have a good job, but I do also want to work on myself because I feel like, oh, I'm getting very agitated. I'm getting very anxious about things. What other outlets can I use to help me with this? And I feel like a man is like, I have a good job. And that's the extent of their growth for some men. And it's just like, I feel like certain men don't think of their emotions as something that they need to work on or improve.
So I have a lot of comments and I didn't want to interrupt you, but first of all, the you said something that I want to really, really push.
Yeah.
How are you feeding me emotionally?
Yeah.
Woo! I feel if I could put that on a poster, I feel like that's such... That I feel for me, especially being an emotional person, I think that's so important in a relationship. Mm-hmm. And I think that I know I've tried to give that and I've realized I don't think that's important to men. But that's kind of how I show, I guess, my like affection, my care, da da da. And I've realized that I've thought, okay, well, this is how I'm showing I care. So hopefully you'll give that back to me because you'll see, oh, wow, Earl Grey cares so much about me. But then it's like, no, it has not. It has, in my experiences, it hasn't been that way.
Right.
And I think that maybe in a future scenario, it will.
Yes.
But I think that in the past, it hasn't. And I think it's kind of required me to look at things from a different perspective. But then also I think I can make adjustments and I'm happy to hear like, what are the things you need me to do?
Yes.
But if I'm going to get something in return, you know, it really needs to be 50-50 and mutual. It's not, you know, I'm not going to just give with, you know, with nothing to come back my way.
Mm-hmm.
Something else you said, and I don't want to lose my train of thought here, but you said something towards the end. Oh, because there's no guy here, guy guest, I want to not play devil's advocate, but ask a question.
Mm-hmm.
You said something how if a guy wants to be financially stable, what if he's out of work or what if he's not in a high-paying job?
Right.
I guess think about it on the flip side. What if you were at a low-paying job or what if you were out of work?
Mm-hmm.
You probably also wouldn't be focused on a relationship.
No, but there are guys out there who don't have a job at all or they have a low-paying job and they're still looking for something. And it's just like, okay.
How a guy wasn't dating because he wanted to be financially stable.
Yeah.
So in a way, I think that I would probably feel similar if I wasn't financially stable.
Oh, yeah. I know. And what I was saying was I totally get that because you want to feel like – what I was trying to say is that's not the end all be all when it comes to your contribution to a relationship. Like the fact that you have a great job and you feel secure enough to provide for someone is great. But also
there's other
factors of a relationship, like being supportive, being empathetic, being learning. I want to learn from you.
Growing.
And no, I agree with you because like I've said before in this podcast and earlier, I've been out of a job before and I was not interested at all in meeting anyone.
You want to get like, your stuff together.
I don't care about going on dates. Like I'm trying to get a job. I'm concerned about my finances so I feel better about myself. So I do get on a man's standpoint. Their thought process of getting the bag is probably amplified than a woman's because it's like a woman is not ingrained at us to have a job in order to be in a relationship. And with the man, it's probably like, no, you have to have your finances first, then relationship, and then a baby or a marriage or something. But yeah, I do get that, you know, you want to feel secure, but also that's not all that mm-hmm. shapes a healthy relationship, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And we also had, we had posed this, a question on our Instagram page, the Tea Room Pod. Like, how do you express yourself emotionally? And I did get a comment from one of my friends, Jamari. Shout out to Jamari. Hope you're listening this time. And I kind of asked him, like, was he ever taught how to express himself? And he said he wasn't really taught how to express himself. And he mentioned, because he is a black man, he said, as black people, we're kind of taught to be hard, and showing emotions is a sign of weakness. And you're kind of supposed to hold everything in and really not show too much emotion. And on that standpoint, I do get that, because I feel like my parents, they're from Costa Rica, and I feel like immigrant parents, when I was younger, and like I feel like my parents specifically, I feel like they'll baby you up until a certain point, mm-hmm. but then it's like, all right, you're a teenager, what are you crying for? That's mm-hmm. what I would hear in my household, like, what are you crying for? It's just like, damn. I'm not saying that my parents were like like the, what's the teacher from Matilda?
Oh, but I don't remember the name.
Well, if someone remembers, just comment later. But it wasn't like they were like, you are supposed to be stoic. But it was more like, you showing these level of tears is not changing your situation.
Mm-hmm. And you're kind of past that.
So even when I remember my piano teacher, it's not funny, he passed away when I was 13, and like, we were going to him every Saturday, and my mom was like, you know, it'll be okay, it'll be okay, but like, tomorrow's a new day. And I even remember, not to get too personal, when one of my grandmother passed away a couple years ago, it was like the saddest thing, because I'm like, seeing your grandmother being like put in the ground, and one of my like aunts were just like, she didn't say stop crying, but she was just like, you have to be strong for your mother. And I wanted to be like, well, who's going to be strong for me? Like, yes, my mom lost her mom, but I lost my grandmother. Mm-hmm. So I just feel like in certain cultures, it's like, especially like Caribbean, like cultured or influenced, you're taught to like, I don't want to say hide your emotions, but you're taught to be like, you have to get over this. Mm-hmm. Like, you can show it for like maybe 10, 15 minutes, but at the end of the day, the next step is like, you have to be strong for everybody, which is like, damn. Like, I can't, mm-hmm. can I like depress? What's the word?
You're like, depressed? Can I go to a white family for a day?
No, y'all crazy. Y'all crazy out here. But no, but I feel like I do agree with certain cultures, you're taught like, expressing yourself to a certain level is not ideal in the household, because mm-hmm. it's just like, you have to get up, pick yourself up, and, you know, move on to the next situation, because life is not going to get easier with you crying on a stoop. Even though that sounds tough, it kind of shaped me, like, when I do have situations where if I lose my job mm-hmm. or situation where I'm upset with person I'm dating, I realize as an adult, I get frustrated, obviously, like, I'm not a robot, but I don't get in that negative state of mind for too long.
No, that's a good practice, because yeah. I feel like I think my parents had more of a, you can express yourself, but you can, they also, I think my parents are pretty traditional.
Yeah.
In that, yeah, you can express yourself, you can go to a therapist, but we're not here for you constantly gonna be upset. I think right. in a way, my parents also, they're supportive to a point. They'll mm-hmm. they'll be like, all right, so now what?
Yeah, exactly. You know,
I think my parents have definitely gave me the space to be upset and to be frustrated and to completely express how I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. But at a point, I think it's a, all right, so now how are you going to proceed? Okay, if you'd like to go speak to someone about this, you can. Mm-hmm. But what are you taking from it? Oh, mm-hmm. but, you know, and again, I think that, yeah, you can cry. But then similar to what you said, at a point, that's not, you could cry for 2 days. Is that changing the outcome of whatever situation? No. Mm-hmm. So I think in that sense, my parents kind of taught me, okay, get your upsetness out and you can be sad. But now, what's next.
Exactly.
You got, or also just, I think they were always in the tradition of like, it's another day. You got to go to work. You got to do what you got to do, regardless of what personal things you have going on. And that's true. I think some days you'll wake up and you're like, I'm not trying to do anything today.
Exactly.
But you're like, you know what?
You have to.
I got to. Yeah. You got to pick up and go. And that's, as you get older, that's like, all right. I'm upset.
That's life.
But you got to do it. It's not like when you're in high school, it's like, oh, I'm going to stay home. Yeah. It's like, no, you can't exactly stay home. So.
Yeah, there was no staying home when I was in high school.
Oh, what?
It was like, no. You're sick. You better take this Tylenol, exactly. Or whatever. And you go to take this Vicks.
No, yeah.
And you got to go to school.
Mm-hmm. So I'm just saying that I think in when you're younger, it would be a little bit more common to be like, oh, I'm going through something, as opposed to like now it's like, well, everyone's going through something. So.
Exactly. I agree. And how do you feel like you, I guess, handle your emotions in the workplace?
Okay, so it's interesting.
Like if you have, let's say you have like, I don't know, like a disagreement with your boss, or maybe even like a coworker, like you felt you heard something, or they may have said something in a meeting that bothered you.
So in the past, I noticed I'll get defensive quick, not in an overly disruptive way or disturbing way, but I'll get defensive. Mm-hmm. I think because. That's a human reaction. Mm-hmm. I think that now that I'm a bit more mature, I try to assess things, or if I'm speaking to my boss, take a step back or take a, usually because she's in another office, my current boss, I'll take a breath, or I'll just kind of try to compose myself for a minute before I just go to defense. I would say that I think it's more about like, instead of just reacting, or instead of just being like, oh, no, I didn't say that, or no, I don't like that, or why do you think that? Or actually, no, I can prove this, being like looking at the bigger picture and then trying to figure out what's the best way to address whatever it may be. I don't usually have too many issues. I would say that I do once in a while I get defensive, but I think that I've told myself through various situations, take a step back before you just come at, you know, and or defend yourself or say something to your boss directly. So that's how I try to handle it.
Yeah, I feel like I was similar in a way. One job in particular was probably the most frustrating job I've ever been at. And every day I wish like the building was on fire. I know I said this before in another podcast.
You did.
But yeah, I felt like I used to work at a shared office space, and it was my first job where I got promoted and I was a manager. So I've never was a manager before, and I didn't know how to manage people. And I thought that was going to be the easiest part, because I'm like, oh, they already know me. Like, we're on a good, I have a good rapport. But it's no, because you can measure someone's work, like if they're in math or analytics, if there's like certain like KPIs you have to measure, that's easy. But you can't measure a person's emotions. You can't measure if someone wants to come into work and not do anything. Mm-hmm. That's hard to like manage. Mm-hmm. So I think for me, for that job, I was very stubborn in a sense to ask for help, because I think in that position, I could have asked more like, hey, how would you deal with this situation since like you've been a manager before? And I didn't. And kind of like what you said about getting defensive, if someone said anything about like, well, your team member didn't follow protocol, didn't finish these reports, I would get defensive in a way like, well, when did this happen? Like what month and what report are you talking about? Mm-hmm. And I felt like my manager would tell me like, people think you're defensive. And then I would take a step back and kind of question like, why am I being called offensive if I'm just asking questions? Mm-hmm. So I think maybe the way I ask the questions, maybe the tone, but I just felt like, you know, if my team is on point from like January through March, and then in February they missed a report, I'm not seeing that as my team is incompetent. You know what I mean? Because that reflects on me. Mm-hmm. So I think that's what got me frustrated in a sense, because it would be like one thing or a couple of things and they would label that as your team has no idea what they're doing. So I think in those type of situations, I learn like it's okay to ask for help even in the job I am now, like, it's something unsure of, like, be okay to do that. But I feel like in that job, my emotion, I guess, transferred into being, like, defensive.
Mm-hmm. I think that's common, though.
Yeah.
Because you also, when someone's, like, giving you criticism mm-hmm. or just giving you a review on certain things, you're like, you're quick to come to be like, hey, actually,
yeah,
I don't feel like this was reflective of all my work or whatnot.
Exactly.
But I think that as you spend more time at different jobs, you mm-hmm. kind of figure out how to navigate, and you learn the new people you work with, and you kind of try to adjust to the environment there mm-hmm. so that you won't be too emotional or you won't be too defensive.
Yeah, because I hate showing emotions at work, because I feel like you shouldn't. Like, I feel like work is work to mm-hmm. me. Like, yeah. I remember I used to work with someone who cried every other day.
I was just going to say, we didn't really touch on, I think we spoke about, like, how dealing with coworkers, yeah. but we didn't talk about, like, if someone's going, because obviously we all go through something, mm-hmm. and so did people start going up to that person who cried every day? Or how did they handle her?
People didn't want to go up to her because it's just like, we're at work.
And she was just crying in the middle of the day.
She would cry because she wouldn't be able to take constructive criticism.
It was about work. It wasn't like she had issues outside of work.
Oh, no. In this situation, it was about work. She took constructive criticism as a personal jab. Like, what's wrong with me? Mm-hmm. And it's just like, no, you should be able to isolate that. Like, mm-hmm. no, we're not saying you're a bad human being. Mm-hmm. We're just saying there's certain things you can improve on in the workplace. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm just like, it was a lot.
No, I get it. I feel like, I think I would suggest that for, like, any listener or any listener who knows someone who's, like, very emotional at work, whether it's an issue they have at work or mm-hmm. whether it's maybe they have outside issues, but it's trickling down into everything. Mm-hmm. Maybe to, like, tell the person, like, what's helped me in the past is, like, get up, go for a drink of water, take yeah. a walk, maybe go outside, listen to, like, bring your headphones, listen to some music, listen to, like, a funny podcast or funny YouTube video.
Yeah.
Because I feel like sometimes things can, like, trickle in and you'll just be really upset in the middle of the day and it'll be in an open office space and everyone's like, what's going on? So yeah. I would say just in take that case, there's nothing wrong to be upset. Like, even if it ends up being at 3 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the afternoon,
yeah.
you just need to, like, navigate that while you're in the workplace. And sometimes that's hard because I think you could be going through, if there's, like, a death or if there you have a breakup or right. you have a family situation or something, just, you know, in your personal life, that can be really tough because even when you're at work, it's still on your brain and it's still, like, you're kind of taught, like, work is work.
Yes.
You can't be thinking about anything. You can't be letting that, which I feel like you shouldn't let something infiltrate work so that you're not going to be
productive. Yeah.
But I think that in the case there, something happens where it's taking over everything, try to figure out, like, little breaks to take a walk, to watch something funny, to call a friend.
Yeah.
You know, definitely you want people to feel like they could express themselves, even if it's for a 15-minute
yeah.
break. You know?
I feel like that's where I differ because I don't like showing emotions, like, at work at all. Like, unless someone passed away, mm-hmm. then it's like you can't control it. But I feel like for me, I either will channel it into work, like I'm like
all right.
Speedy Gonzalez mm-hmm. at work, or I'm out of it and I just, like, need to sit in, like, a separate room and just do work. Mm-hmm. But I don't like to talk about things at work. Like, I just rather, like,
that's
be in my zone.
That's why I said to take yeah. a walk or, but I get that. I mean, I feel like if someone is strong enough to be like, find out something or read a really, like, bad text,
yeah.
but then can be like, you know what? I'm at work. I'm just going to go super hard at work. That's great.
Yeah.
I think that's hard. I find that particularly hard. I get distracted if I read something at work and I'm like, just not in a good, in a good space. But that's kind of like, you know, getting older, you need to feel like, okay, well, I'm at work. I can't really change whatever, you know, mm-hmm. unless something is immediate and you need to leave.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think you just, also, I think another thing as you get older, not that you can't always regulate your emotions. If someone passes away or if something is really tragic, mm-hmm. you're going to feel it.
Of course.
I think that part of being an adult is saying, all right, how can I navigate this? Or how can I like put this on the table for later? Like, exactly. Okay, it's 3 o'clock and I'm really upset, but you know what? I got to work until at least 5 or 5:30. And then when at 5:30, I can take the time to be upset about that.
What I like to say to myself, even though it's easier said than done, I like to tell myself in my head, like, what you're feeling right now is temporary. It's going to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously that's hard when, if, like you said, if you see a text or mm-hmm. if you just
think of something
or you see something that reminds you of the person that you're triggered. It's just like, oh, I'm frustrated. But I try to think of, it's not, this feeling you're feeling is not going to last too long.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously it's easier said than done because I still get frustrated with things. But I try to think of that like going forward. And how do you think you, what, did we talk about how, yeah, we spoke about how men are not really emotionally unavailable, right?
Emotionally available. Yeah.
Yeah. And I think we just said like it stems from a lot of things like society.
How they were raised, who they're around. I'm sure if they're around other men who aren't expressing themselves either,
yeah.
they're going to think like, why would I, like, I'm going to be looked at as weak.
Yeah.
Or I just think also like things that maybe like are highlighted. If you even think about like down to looking at a women's magazine as opposed to a men's magazine, I'm sure just like the content is different and what's stressed
yes.
is important. What's stressed?
Well, now
we
have social media.
Yeah, true. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I don't think like, I know for me, I started following all these. I've struggled somewhat with anxiety. And so I, especially when like I'm in certain relationships or certain situations. So I started following certain accounts.
Mm-hmm.
And although I'm sure now that it may come up on some like males, what is it? The explore page
mm-hmm.
of people who follow me, but I don't know if they're necessarily going to engage with those accounts.
Mm.
Like I feel like I'd seek out those accounts
mm-hmm.
because I'm like, hey, I've struggled with anxiety,
especially
with relationships.
Yeah.
Like instead of continuing to follow things that maybe are just going to, you know, not really please me online, let me follow like helpful resources.
Yeah.
I don't know if necessarily a man would seek that out as opposed to like an athlete, as opposed to like a page with memes, as opposed to.
And I think we may need to do a part two, have like a guy on. No, because we said this in our earlier podcast, like a couple of shows ago, who do men talk to when they're going through things?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I like to ask men this question. Like if you're stressed out, just like a regular question, like if you're stressed out, like, do you talk to anyone? And I feel like 80 to 85% of the time, they don't talk to anybody. Mm-hmm. And I think that ties into their level of emotional maturity. It's just mm-hmm. like, I don't know if it's because they feel like they don't need to talk to anyone, or they have this ego, this prideful idea, like, well, I'll handle it myself. That's what I'm taught to do. That's mm-hmm. what I'm ingrained to do.
Sometimes
and then it's
they
just
can't.
Like, it's trickling down into other areas where it's like, now you're unable to, you're emotionally unavailable.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you're trying to be in a relationship, like mm-hmm. if you're just all about your work and or whatever, I still feel like as a man, you should be able to express yourself and find outlets for that. But I think specifically if you're trying to be in a relationship and you're telling me that you want to be in one, you should find a way to express yourself
mm-hmm.
and try to be emotional to your partner
mm-hmm.
if you're seeing that she's that way to you.
True.
I know that's not ideal in certain mm-hmm. situations, but I feel like we do need a male guest to mm-hmm. kind of have his brain on like how he goes through his emotions, and does he even have outlets for mm-hmm. that?
Does he even deal with it, or is it like swept under the rug?
Right.
Because then I think that's what leads to further issues.
It does.
And then I think also, so you know how whenever a girl is like, oh, I want to talk about this, and the guy's like, oh, I don't really want to talk about it, or they change the subject.
Yeah.
It's like maybe they're also doing that because that's what they've done with their own problems.
Yep.
Imagine like one day they were upset about something unrelated to women, but then in their head, they're like, oh, it's fine. it'll go away, or I just won't think about it. And then they don't even like deal with it. They don't go to talk to anyone.
Exactly.
They don't express themselves emotionally.
Exactly.
And then we women expect the man to maybe be willing to express himself. And it's like, he doesn't even do that for himself. How is he going to do that for someone else?
He's not. Was one example you just made me think of. Like, there was someone I was talking to, and I think he was having like a hard day at work, and I was like, oh, how's your day going? And he put like a laughing emoji. He's like, that's how it's going. It's kind of making me question, like, what am I doing this for? And I was like, oh, like, what happened? Like, I wanted to know. He was like, oh, I'm sorry for venting. And it's just like, you didn't vent. Like, you put an emoji and you said like five words. And I feel like, again, like a men's idea of expressing themselves, I feel like they think it's like a burden. They either think it's a burden on the other person, or they feel like, I don't want to just handle this myself. Mm-hmm. And it's just like, it's okay to unload on somebody.
Yep,
'cause then when you have that all built up and pent up inside, it's going to be harder as you get older. Not even for like a partnership, just like in general, how to tackle serious situations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what about when something arises that's more, like more serious or more grave, like, what are you gonna do? You're gonna be like, oh no, nothing. Oh, sorry for venting. Oh, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah.
This is a tough topic.
It is. I guess one last thing we can speak about before we close. How do you normally like express your emotions with your family? Is it different with like your parents as opposed to like your cousins or?
So I've never been particularly close with my cousins. Mm-hmm. When we see each other, everything's fine, but I wouldn't call them up or like, maybe if I saw one thing that like reminded me of them once in a blue, maybe I'd text them.
Mm-hmm.
I express myself, I feel like it's changed over the years. I think that before I'd probably be like crying or maybe call up my mom, or my mom would see that I was upset and I would just be angry. Now I think if my parents contact me and I'm not doing well, I'm like, I'm really not having a good day. Mm-hmm. Like, let me give you guys a call later, tomorrow. There's certain things that I'll tell them I'm upset. I won't necessarily go into heavy detail if it's about a relationship, because I'm 30 and I'm kind of like, I don't know if I want to tell my parents. I'll maybe give them general idea, or a lot of times after the fact, like after a situation is over, I'll go and tell my mom, hey, this is what I was going through. And I think that she probably understands why I wasn't more forthcoming at the time.
Right.
But also I think I don't want to make my parents worry, like, and tell them, like, oh, this is what I'm going through, and then them to be all in, oh my God,
right?
What should we do? You know, because more things should be on me at this age. But I would say that I'm not really like that close with my extended family. I'm pretty close with my parents. And I do let them know, hey, I'm not doing well, or I'll say I kind of saw something that bothered me, or someone, and I had an issue with someone, but I don't know if I'd go into necessarily like super specifics, because I also want them to feel like Earl Grey is at the age where she should be handling it on her own.
Yeah. I feel like for me, it's interesting because when I was a teenager, even like in college, I never thought I could talk to my mother about relationship stuff, but she's like one of the first people I call now if I want advice about like dating, or if I just tell her, yeah, I'm in this situation, and then she gives me advice, and I was like, oh wow, like this is actually helpful. And I feel like I am closer to my parents, and I'm more open to talking to them about things that I didn't think I could when I was younger. Even with my father, I mean, I don't talk to my father about relationships or dating, because he would probably just look at me like I'm crazy, but like other things, like my father gives me wisdom just about growth and like your experiences and stuff. And it's interesting, I feel myself asking my mom more advice than my sister, because I feel like my sister's more like goal oriented. Like if I have questions to her about work, I'll ask her that. But I feel like it's interesting, my mom seems to be more open when it comes to talking to things like that than my own sister. It's interesting.
Well,
it works out.
Yeah, I was gonna say, nothing wrong with that, getting some advice from mom.
Mm-hmm. All right, guys. So I hope you enjoyed this episode about emotional vulnerability. And again, men, we really want your comments
on how you express yourself emotionally.
Exactly. Do you guys have any outlets, or, you know, what were you taught when you were younger? Has it differed now? And I think we probably would need to do a part two. Mm-hmm. May bring someone familiar back on the show, maybe somebody new, but we're definitely going to have a male perspective on this. So thank you again for listening. You can follow us on the Tea Room Pod on Instagram. You can follow us on Facebook, the Tea Room Podcast. We're also on SoundCloud. You can just type in the Tea Room Podcast and you will find us. And please, please subscribe to us on iTunes. We're also on Apple Podcast.
Keep sipping.